Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Team all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Appreciate everybody coming here for your college football conversation. It is what we do, and we got actual real on-the-field games coming up in 2 weeks. Real Division I teams, too. Power 5 football. Started by mentioning who does this and what's the advantage. And so I'd mentioned that FSU, they have a real windfall later in the season when, you know, they after their second bye week, and then it sort of opens up, and I went through the schedule. But one of the teams I mentioned was, I said Louisiana Lafayette. That's not what they are anymore. They are just Louisiana. In fact, they are U of L. They are the University of Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I've always said, you can call yourself, well, you can choose to call yourself whatever. There's a singer, Sade. I was in high school, and I saw Sade, S-A-D-E. I'm like, what, huh? I spell it however you want. I was 17, and I thought it was important. How is that Sade? Does it matter? Spell it whatever you want. Tell me what you want to be called. I don't know. I've told you, Max Gene Gillis. If you don't know that name, he was an offensive lineman at Georgia. He didn't look like a human. He looked like a drawn cartoon character offensive lineman, like a big villain in a comic book who was offensive lineman, man. He was just this massive guy, and I think played for the Eagles. But he wasn't a guard. He was a tackle at Georgia. And he also was, and it turns out, Max Gene Gillis. He was Max Jean Gilly. I think he was Haitian. And at media days, he gets taken there as a senior. They bring Max Gene Gillis, and I introduce him. Hey, Max Gene Gillis, I'm Chuck Oliver, and we're about to talk. It's Max Jean Gilly. And I was like, you can tell me your name's Brad, man. I'm going to call you. What do you want me to call you? Jean Gilly? I got it down the first time. So I'll call you whatever, and it is not meant as any, because I think anybody who listens to the show for any amount of time, you realize I got not a whole lot of personal stake in my commentary. I'll tell you what I feel. But it's not, you know, from a, I try not to, at least, from a basis of, you know, I'm out for this program or I want to take a shot. I just don't even troll. And so I said Louisiana Lafayette. And that's, you know, Brandon Stokely, if you go way back, Raging Cajuns and all that. And I had asked, before I went on today, I texted a buddy of mine who graduated from LSU, another buddy who graduated from LSU, another buddy of mine who's LSU family, all this stuff, you know, Louisiana. Hey, I'm about to mention, Louisiana Lafayette, am I going to offend anyone if I call it what I called it since I've understood what football was? And the reason I'm asking, I got a response of, oh, yeah, you're going to make their fans really angry. But two of the three people that I asked said, I still call them USL just to tick off their fans. I was like, oh, so that's what it is. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. That was Southwest Louisiana, wasn't it? Yeah. It was Southwest Louisiana and Northeast Louisiana. So then they took the, well, it's directional schools. And so there's some sort of like, yeah, they're a directional school. There's a bias when we call a school a directional school. So Southwest Louisiana or Southeast Louisiana. Well, yeah, no, we're not going to be Southwest Louisiana. We don't be Northeast anything. We're just going to be Louisiana Lafayette. And then we're like, you know what? We're going to drop that. We're not going to be Troy State anymore. We're going to be Troy. I got scolded one time. I was doing a game, not at Central Florida, and not for the Golden Knights, because I'd said Central Florida and I'd said Golden Knights in the pregame. Their SID reacted like I'd punch one of his kids in the face. We're UCF and we're just the Knights. Noted. He's a nice person. He was. But anyway, So I'll call you whatever, but Louisiana Lafayette, that's what I mean. You are just University of Louisiana. You're U of L now. There was, and I'm going to leave out the school, but this is what you get sometimes as a response, and that's why there's somebody listening. There's a bunch of people listening go, why would you even take time? Just say what you're going to say and move on. Folks, you don't understand, and I don't necessarily – I'm not going to say I don't care, but I'm saying it's not going to affect me because I don't have any, like, ill will that I'm going to have to resolve. You know, well, I really do hate the Raging Cajuns, but I'll push it down because there was another team, and I guess they had a big Saturday. I took the guy's word for it in his email. And anybody sends an email, and this is past season. Anybody sends an email in 2021, they're really, really, really angry. They're either really old or they're really angry because they have more anger than can be fit in a tweet. And I say who it was. It was Georgia State. And they had played somewhere in the Fun Belt, and whoever the receiver was, I guess he had a big Saturday because I get an email from an angry Georgia. And I like Georgia State. My wife's got 2 degrees from Georgia State. She got 2 from Rhodes, Smarty Pants School. She got 2 from Georgia State. She has now a PA, completed PA program. So you know what I say? In our marriage, we average 2.5 degrees per member of this marriage. So she did the heavy lifting. But it was Georgia State, which I got no ill will for. But the email I got was, Joe Smith caught 9 passes Saturday at Troy. Been listening all show. Not one word yet, so-called king. I say this kind of in seriousness. A Georgia State receiver would have to shoot the president for me to talk about him on a Monday following an October weekend of football. 9 passes on the road at Movie Gallery Stadium just is not going to get a mention on like October 9th, people. So that's why I sent like a real small, what is that, MailChimp? Where you can send around the little thing. Yeah, I sent a 3-person text to folks who would know just to try to avoid the backlash because it's just you grow up saying it and you're going to screw up. And I don't know. I still think I'm going to Rich's men's store at some point. Rich's has been out of business for a decade, I think. So you just get used to it. And I have to unlearn that. So if something that you have learned over decades and decades and decades, you have to unlearn it. You have to find. So that's what it is. And so it's just one example of if it's your school next time, and it is. We're not Central Florida. Oh, I see UCF or USF. They're not University of South Florida. They are not. They are 3 letters, folks. Not anything spelled out. USF. I don't mean anything by it. It's just when you learn that, you got to unlearn it. All right, we're going to break. Come back next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hour 2 of the Chuck Oliver Show rolls along. All week, all year, it's all college football. We're going to have our man, Eddie Radosovich, today's truest reporter, Sooner Scoop. He's also Morning Drive on 107.7 Franchise in OKC. Eddie's a great source for Sooner Talk. That'll be in, I don't know, like a minute or so. But while I say all week, all year, it's all college football, I do have college basketball. I just want to fill in the gaps. There are so many times I can yell, Dan, because I need to know, was that 1975 or 1976? And the truth is, almost every time I yell Dan, what I'm asking really is not important and it doesn't matter. But it's important to present accurate information, so that's why I ask. This was too much for me to just yell Dan. I would put too much on his plate. Real quick, this was the example, and we're not going to talk Georgia Tech men's basketball, folks. We're going to talk finances and how important it is and how contracts play a very real part in whether dude or girl keeps his or her job. And it's not just on the court, on the field, on the ice, on the whatever. Brian Gregory had some success at Dayton. At Dayton. And in college basketball, to me, I don't Dayton, Xavier, you win wherever you win. It's the same. Then he goes to George Tech in the ACC, and I'm going to give you his first four seasons. This is an example on not, but I don't care about George Tech basketball, not today. But this is a big-time program, and it's a big-time basketball program. Like, that fan base cares about hoops. And this is how the program, the ACC, this is how they treated it. 11-20, 16-15, 16-17. They wanted to fire him after the 16-17 season. They were like, three seasons, this is going nowhere. Now, they fall the next year to 12-19. Don't fire him. Wanted to. Contract said couldn't fire him. They go 21-15. They fire him after they go 21-15. And I'm saying that there was like an extension after, like maybe they, because they went from 11-20 to 16-15. They may have given him extension at some point. But that's overall. You want it to be even more blatant? How this clearly was, I don't know, Brian Gregory, he should have come up with a way to sue. Because it had to be something other than job performance. I think in Georgia that you can fire somebody because you don't like a sweater, maybe. I think that's what you can do in Georgia, I think. But Georgia Tech must not have liked a sweater because here are his records in conference. And see, in college basketball, you can kind of schedule some dubs. In conference, in the ACC, he went 4-12. 6-12, 6-12, 3-15. After the 3-15 season, they didn't fire him because the contract said you can't fire him. Next year, they're up to 8-10 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They fire him then. Why? Not because of on court. It was because of what the contract allowed. That is what the Georgia Tech athletic director, and there are others, by the way, who have decided to either, you know, facilities-wise, paint themselves into a financial corner. But Georgia Tech is a Power 5 football program, and their head coach, there's a chance he keeps his job because of finances. And you're in the ACC, and you're looking around going, yeah, and every year for the next 14, Vanderbilt is going to get three times, potentially, at least double the media money that I get every year. By the way, Clemson can say the same thing about Vanderbilt. Want to welcome on right now a guy we enjoy turning to when it's time to talk Sooners. He is today's Truist reporter, Sooner Scoop, covering Oklahoma every morning again, 6-10, 107.7, the franchise in OKC. It is Eddie Radosovic. Eddie, how are you today?
What is going on? How are we?
I'm doing pretty well, and I just want to jump right into this because I know there are certain things that are third rail in today's society, and I don't know any of the specifics about Cale Gundy and his resignation other than what I read. He was reading some just in the moment straight off an iPad without previewing it, and it included a third rail term, and he resigned after basically he's been OU football since he was 18 years old, essentially.
Yeah, he's been a part of the program for, you know, basically my entire life, and it's unfortunate. You know, I do a four-hour morning show here in Oklahoma City, and it was extremely – it's a tough subject, I think, for anybody to have to talk about. And, you know, particularly somebody like Cale Gundy who, you know, especially when things got sideways a few months back after the Lincoln Riley stuff, he was the one going into homes, kind of keeping this thing together alongside Bob Stoops. And to find out the news last night that he had resigned and would not be a part of the OU football program, we had our first opportunity to go see practice this morning for about 40 minutes and just not seeing him out there. I think the reality of the situation started to set in. And, you know, I think if anybody needs to know anything about Cale Gundy's character or what he's meant to this university, just get on, you know, the Sooner timeline on social media sphere and kind of see the outpouring of, you know, kind of in their corner as far as what you've seen from former players, current and former players. And it's just a really unfortunate event. And certainly, I think you could say that the, you know, quote-unquote honeymoon period of the Brent Venables era is probably over as they now have to navigate through these waters just a couple practices into the 2022 football season.
Yeah, he was reading a social media post or so, just and it was essentially what I read. And that's all I know was some kid not paying attention during the meeting. What are you reading instead of paying attention? And just started reading whatever the post was. And
yeah, and it was a rap lyric, and
I think that's
kind of what we've come to find out. And you know, I was told that the moment he had told him to pay attention, went back to him 10, 15 minutes later, said, you know, the answer to the question is in the notes, and if you have the notes up on the iPad, they should be right there. And they obviously weren't, and he started reading them, and, you know, before he knew it, he had said something that he shouldn't have. And, you know, basically 15 seconds, two sentences have kind of erased what he built, I guess, for the last 23 years specifically, and then, you know, the years prior to that as a player, starting in 1990. So.
He'd been at UAB for about 15 minutes in between or a little bit, but then he went back to OU. And so it's basically – it's almost all of his adult life. All right, so that is the personal side of it. And, again, I will let others be outraged, or I will let others insist it was the right thing. I'm not on campus, and so that's what it is. But I want to ask, though – there, beyond the personal side of it, there is the very real side that OU's got 12 games coming up, and what will be the on-field effect? I mean, it's Oklahoma. You can shake the tree and find quality coaches who want to coach there, but what will be the effect?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because now you look up and you're 25 days away from the first game here in Norman, and, you know, I mean, they're in the middle of practice. LaDainian Washington was an offensive analyst. He came in from Missouri. He's been named the interim wide receivers coach. He was out there this morning working with them. He's a guy that I think a lot of people like around here. You know, I think there's going to be certainly a little bit of shock, though. You're losing a guy that had been an integral part of the program, you know, specifically on the offensive side of the football, special teams-wise. Kel Gundy had a big part of what they do. You know, it's a loss. It's a loss there. It's a loss in the recruiting world and with what he had done with his track record. You know, it's going to be particularly interesting. How long did they keep an interim tag on LaDainian Washington? Is he going to be a guy that eventually could be a full-time position on the field coach, or are they going to look for somebody? You know, I think Oklahoma fans, their immediate reaction would be Malcolm Kelly, who's currently coaching in the Big 12, but that opens a whole new can of worms. Like, I don't think that he's necessarily going to leave his current school as they embark on their first week of practice as well. So, you know, it's obvious to say the timing couldn't have been worse. That, you know, the timing seemingly could have been never, but they are really in a interesting situation. And for Brent Venables, who now has to kind of make a decision on the fly in his first year as a head coach. So it's always something. It always seems like it's something with the Oklahoma football program. And to say that this was unexpected would be quite an understatement.
Continuing, Eddie Radosovich, again, today's Truist Reporter, morning 6 to 10, 1077, the franchise in OKC. What is it okay for me to have as expectations, or OU fans, or Ghost of Jim Garner? What is it okay for all of us to have as real expectations? Because I know where the bar is in Norman,
That's right.
Ain't finishing second in that conference. It's winning the thing.
When people have asked me that, this is how I respond. It was one of the most disappointing seasons in terms of 2021 in recent memory, maybe in, you know, quote unquote, the modern era of Oklahoma football. And that's going back a couple decades now. And they won 11 games. I mean,
Baylor won the conference.
I mean, Baylor won the conference.
Yeah.
And they found a way to win 11 games. And you ask people around Norman, you ask people around Oklahoma City, the state of Oklahoma, it was one of the most embarrassing, disappointing seasons that they've had in quite some time. So the expectation, I mean, the quote that Brent Venables and their staff has kind of taken since day one is they want to make the program from good to great. And, you know, I don't think getting to double-digit wins would be out of the realm of possibility. I think that, you know, there are some question marks as far as on the field, what they have to replace, whether it be guys on the defensive line and Nick Benito, Perrion Winfrey, and Isaiah Thomas. And then, obviously, at the quarterback position, I think that there's a lot of intrigue in what they're going to be able to get from Dylan Gabriel. You know, I think everybody likes what Jeff Levy has brought from in terms of an offensive game plan. It's just going to be about what that actually is. And, you know, you look at the schedule, it sets up nicely for them. You know, they don't have that SEC marquee games quite yet on their schedule, which, you know, the Big 12 has been good over the past, I think probably the past 5 years, probably better than a lot of people realize nationally. But at the same time, it does offer them a schedule, I think, that they can be comfortable. And, you know, the first big road hump for me, once you get past UTEP and Kent State, it's going to be the trip to Lincoln. And I think that's going to be the first moment that we really kind of find out what this Oklahoma 2022 team is going to be, and especially if it's a game that Nebraska, if they can get through the game in Dublin and then the two cupcake games in the weeks preceding the Oklahoma trip or the Oklahoma visit. It's going to be a major atmosphere up there, and it's going to be particularly interesting for a team that is as young as Oklahoma to kind of see how they respond. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of respond to this adversity. I think everybody around here said that, you know, it's been a honeymoon since Brent took over, and, you know, this is the first major speed bump, and, you know, that doesn't even have to do with anything that has been on the field. So, you know, expectations at Oklahoma are always going to be extremely, extremely high, and you know, I think that that's the way that the fan base wants it. That's the way that the current players want it. And it's about meeting maybe sometimes some unrealistic expectations as well.
Eddie Radosovich, great source as always, brother. Thank you for your time, man.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys soon. Hey, it is good the football season's here, though. At the end of the day, I left football practice. Like, it does feel like we're headed in the right direction, even though there are some road humps and some uncomfortable conversations that have to be had today.
Oh, no. I'm really looking at that Illinois Week 0 matchup, and I think that there's an opportunity for the Illini minus that 10 and a hook. So, yes, Eddie, there's all college football is nothing but good, man. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
You bet, guys. Anytime.
All right, Eddie Radosovich again, Sooner Scoop, also franchise. He is that's the radio station franchise, OKC. He's today's Truist reporter. He mentioned Jeff Lebby there. He mentioned Venables, and he mentioned, like, DeMarco Murray's back as running backs coach. And there's a couple of others, maybe. But it's new head coach, and this is true whenever you switch. New head coach, new coordinator here, new coordinator, new position coach, new analyst, new recruiting, this, that, and the third, new hostess for this, new host for that. How are they doing so well in recruiting right now? It's amazing. OU, and it's not the name, image, likeness stuff. That was one of the things they didn't do particularly distinctive job at. It's been fantastic. Five-star on campus, five-star committed, four-star committed as well, a bunch of trove of people coming in for visits. Just done a great job. And there is supposed to be a hiccup some sort when all of the turnovers and players leaving in troves as well, and there just hadn't been.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. If we hop in the DeLorean and go back to my college days, I was fraternity president. I only tell you that set up in the following story. It was just a regular old fraternity, just like 30 other fraternities on campus, except there was one that was different. It was an alumni group, and it was like for graduate students. It was a fraternity for graduate students. So you'd have all these old men running around, like 24, 25-year-old grown men who I had played against when he was a Sigma Nu or an SAE or, you know, whatever. And I wanted to outlaw it. And I went to an IFC meeting one time, it was a president's meeting we had once a week, and I raised my hand. I was like, this would be like Damian Craig was, Reggie Slack. He was the Auburn quarterback back then. And I said, it'd be like Reggie Slack playing for Auburn for 2 years and then going to play for Kentucky. And everybody's like, oh, Chuck, you're being, that would never happen. You're being, this time last year, like if I think Ed Orgeron referred to Dare Rosenthal as a future first round NFL draft pick. And I blinked and he's like starting at Kentucky. I'm like, how did that happen? It's just a weird time and how you, and by the way, since that happened last year, it's times five. It is times five. I want to bring on right now a good friend of the program. He talks LSU and previously talked Dare Rosenthal. It is my good friend, Matt Moscona from 104.5 and throughout the state. How are you today, brother?
Chuck, I'm great, man. Thanks.
Dare Rosenthal, what did you see in him?
He was massively athletic for a big man. He was also massively inconsistent, which was his problem. And then he had some off-field problems, which is why he was no longer at LSU. But if he can ever harness the physical gifts and be a more consistent player, then he could absolutely be a pretty consistent NFL starter. But he never really did that at LSU during his time here.
All right, so all I know are the Southern recipes, you know, what is it, hamstrings, drink some pickle juice, things like that. If you got shin splints, you do those little toe lifts on a stair. What's up with Jack Besh?
He was out there in practice today, so I think he's fine. I don't know why.
These are some Jack celebrated shin splints.
I don't know how, but you got to understand, Jack Besh is a tough dude, and the first day of practice, I don't think they're just giving guys like veteran days off like they do in the NFL. I don't think anything to worry about there with Jack with shin splints. And it seems like all of the injuries that kept guys out in spring have all resolved. And those guys that were out in spring are practicing now. So, look, I mean, injuries in fall camp are a part of it for every team at every level. LSU's, you know, 4 days into practice now. And so far, healthy, so good. But the shin splints with Jack Besh, I don't think are going to manifest and be that big of a deal.
Continuing with Matt Moscona, 104.5 FM and throughout the state on TV as well because people want to sing. No accounting for taste, but if you do want to sing, you can. All right, so I don't know. Are you familiar with, like, there used to be an exercise, and I think, and my understanding is there was an exercise back in the day, maybe they still do it at the Citadel, when you are dismissed, when you've cheated or lied. You know, one of those, you know, short lists where you get dismissed from an academy. Do you know what that exercise is? Do you know how they play it out, what the actual thing is?
I do not.
Okay, well, the other students, whoever in your company, they line the driveway, the one long driveway, and they face out as you have to walk the driveway out the gates.
It's, oh, man.
Okay. That's what came to mind when I saw some – Trey Bradford has been separated from LSU. Did you see that language?
I did see that.
Separated from the university. Did like everybody face the sidelines and he had to walk out the middle of the field? What was the – did they turn their back on Trey Bradford?
His situation is so odd. So Trey Bradford came to LSU in 2020. And he spent much of the season injured, barely played. And in the offseason, he transfers to Oklahoma. And then before the 2021 season starts – he comes back to LSU, so he never actually played at Oklahoma. And his dad went on these Oklahoma message boards, like, apologizing to Oklahoma fans, saying this wasn't, you know, his decision. He wanted his son to stay. It was bizarre. So Bradford spends the 21 season at LSU, again, barely plays. Ty Davis Price ended up being kind of LSU's bell cow. And now Trey Bradford's gone again. It was one of the stranger careers at LSU in recent memory.
And he's gone now. He is separated from the university. Okay.
He's been separated. Yes.
Okay. So whatever that verb means, he's gone. But it does – I say sometimes the next best answer to yes is no. And so if Trey Bradford's a no, all right, well, now let's work through a slightly less cloudy running back depth chart.
Less cloudy, but also not a lot of depth. You've got John Emery, who is
whatever that means.
Five-star. Yeah, he's a former five-star, and in 2019, Chuck, he was just buried behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then in 2020 was the COVID year, and he played well in spurts. And then last year, John Emery was practicing as LSU's first team running back up until the Thursday before the opener against UCLA in the Rose Bowl. And then he was declared academically ineligible.
Yep.
How in the world that – well, anyway, that's an old story. But John Emery's got all the physical ability. He just needs the right opportunity at the right time and to stay healthy, and this will probably be that. Noah Cain, the Penn State transfer, who's a Louisiana guy, is the other guy they are really excited about. We got to see him in practice last week. He's in really good shape. You know, he had a knee injury at Penn State and kind of got wally-pipped. But those two guys, if they stay healthy, are your 1-2. And then you got Armani Goodwin, who's put on some size. He scored a touchdown in the spring game. Really nice.
I like him, man. He looks fun.
And for a guy who maybe doesn't have the most size, actually, you know, isn't afraid to put his head down and run with some power.
Yeah.
So after that, Chuck, the only other guy back there with any experience is Josh Williams, who's a former walk-on. So you don't have – remember Corey Kiner a year ago was a freshman from Cincinnati. He transferred back home to Cincinnati. So and Ty Davis Price is in the NFL. So Josh Williams, Chuck, with 107 yards a year ago, is the leading returning rusher on this team. So they got a lot of question marks there, for sure.
Now, this is what I love. And by the way, if you're not an LSU fan, keep listening anyway. I swear this is important. It's not boring. Will Campbell, 5-star left tackle. That'll get anybody's attention. I've been told twice now over the past, I don't know, 4 days, it's not just him. It looks like it could be the offensive line class that is there. All right, go beyond Will Campbell.
You mean the freshman?
Yeah. Apparently, okay, Emory Jones, this giant human out of Baton Rouge. Go ahead.
Yeah, Emory. So Emory went to Catholic High, where I went and called the games for him. So I've got to see Emory play for a long time. When we got to see them last week, was running with the twos. He's basically played anywhere on the interior. Bo Bordelon is interesting as well. He is a 3-star, not someone that was highly regarded in the rating services, but he was Arch Manning's left tackle at Newman, and his dad played football at LSU, and they have him, you know, running reps at left, not first team, but running reps at left tackle as well, and Brian Kelly has gushed over him. Look, Chuck, this year, 2022, the offensive line is by a mile the biggest, most concerning question on this LSU team. There's literally nothing even close.
So
the only thing that I'll tell you is set right now is the true freshman you mentioned, Will Campbell, playing left tackle. That's the one thing I'll tell you is a certainty at this point. Everything else is a gigantic question mark. But they have recruited well. That is one of Brian Kelly's fortes, was during his time at Notre Dame. And the cavalry is here and on the way and growing. It may take a year for them to grow and develop and find their spots and how it all goes. The future of that position is going to be very bright. I don't know how it is going to look this year.
Fitzgerald West, did you watch him in high school at all?
I did. He was a defensive lineman in high school.
Is he an offensive lineman now?
He is repping at center right now, yes.
I said center or guard, because at that those dimensions, he looks like a Coke machine you put arms on.
that's a good way of putting it. But he is repping at center right now. And that's another question, right? Like, and Ed Ogeron offered him. Fitzgerald West was a guy who was a defensive lineman, came to LSU camp last summer. Ed Ogeron saw him, and they said, would you be willing to go rep offensive line? He said sure, and they offered him on the spot at center. So I think he is the future starting center at LSU. But how long that'll take to get there, I don't know, but they like him in that spot.
It sounds like on the pie graph of if a freshman other than Will Campbell gets in the mix there or starts or gets ahead, you know, they're kind of running with twos is the word, but if that happens, it's a combination of like maybe 32% the freshman is exceeding, but maybe what is the rest of it, 68% that the offensive line is just not good enough for an upperclassman to put a hammer lock on something?
So that's the problem, right? Chuck, LSU has 10 guys that have started college football games, 10. And you would think, man, that's great experience. But the opposite is true. You have 10 guys that have started and nobody has solidified a job. That's a problem. You would have loved for Charles Turner to have just grabbed the starting center job by the throat in spring. He's a guy that's been around now going into his fourth year, came here, you know, undersized out of IMG. He needed to put on weight, but they loved the frame and what he could maybe develop into, and it just hasn't happened. And so, Chuck, they're repping four or maybe five guys with Fitzgerald West now at center. They're cross-training guys that have never played the position to try to be the other half of the battery in front of a quarterback that they don't know who's going to be starting. So it's – I'm telling you, man, there is – that is the biggest question on this team, Chuck, and there is not a close second.
Do you remember if we go way, way, way back, and that's to like 2010, do you remember Sharif Floyd, big five-star that signed with Florida?
Yeah, Florida, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And then he's a first-round pick, I think, a few years later. But he's a kid out of Philadelphia, and I was talking to one of my buddies over in Gainesville because remember that 2010 class was – they had like five stars or so, and Sharif was one of them. And he said, this guy looks like he's a 30-year-old angry grown man. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, he walked out onto the practice. He said, look at the Florida Gators. He's like, I'm here to take somebody's job.
I love that. I
literally walking out there, who are y'all? And said, one of the Pouncey brothers tried to beat him, you know, whatever, but whatever. I heard Harold Perkins certainly passes the looks test. I mean, it's different in the SEC, you know. And it's not easy to do, but as far as physically there to take somebody's job, I mean, in linebacker, there are worse areas on the LSU depth chart to try to, you know, take somebody's snaps.
I love this question because so often when you go out to fall camp for practices, especially early, you don't get to see a ton, but that's something that's very noticeable. Like, who physically do you look at and go, oh, my God? Harold Perkins is one of them. That's what a five-star linebacker is supposed to look like. And, you know, you've got Micah Baskerville. You know, you've got the Mike Jones running out there. You've got guys who West Weeks is a transfer from Virginia. Colby Fields is a transfer from South Carolina. They put bodies there, but they don't have anybody who's really solidified a job. So Harold Perkins could. But I'll give you another name, Chuck. Quincy Wiggins. I mean, he looks like an alien that dropped out of a spaceship. I mean, look, you go on any SEC roster, there's always the dude that's 6'5 with arms, you know, that seemingly can touch the ground and you're just chiseled out of stone. Like, everybody's got them. They're usually not 18 years old looking like that when they walk on campus.
Oh, no, it's a character in Jimmy Dean's song.
Yes, I don't know if many people know about him. Chuck, this is a random aside. He was in San Antonio for the All-American game in January. And you can go find the video. I'll give the listener forewarning. Like, it's tough to watch. He got hit by a car, and so it was videoed, and kind of flew up in the air and landed. Dude just popped right up and walked away, I think, with maybe like a little fraction of the wrist. I mean, Quincy Wiggins is built different. And I would be stunned if that kid doesn't have an amazing career when we look back at it, provided he stays healthy.
All right, man, I appreciate the insight. It's intriguing. I have said LSU fans, I said they're not dummies. It's not good for Brian Kelly, it's not easy for Brian Kelly. I said LSU fans are not dummies. They know what the talent on this roster is. And so, I mean, it's week one, go win. That's it. Week two, go win.
That's the expectation. As much as fans will say, man, after back-to-back 500 seasons, you know, 8-4 would be great. It's easy to say, but, man, you get in that football Saturday, they take an L, it's melt.
Let me ask you real quick, Boston and Fambly, and I don't care about any of that stuff. It's silliness. How is it going on the recruiting trail, though? Because especially in the sportsman's paradise, that really, really, really matters. Oh, yeah, your dad recruited my dad, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. They got Shelton Sampson this weekend, obviously. He was a five-star receiver, you know, from Catholic and Baton Rouge. They're probably going to get Ricky Collins, the quarterback from Woodlawn, on Wednesday. And then this weekend they're expected to get Kylan Jackson as well, safety from Zachary. So three kids, all from the greater Baton Rouge area, all high profile, all expected to commit this week. So the big concern was, you know, could Brian Kelly put together a staff that could build roots and relationships in this state? Because to win, you have to recruit Louisiana. I mean, it is your trump card. And there was a little concern when Derek Williams, the safety five-star, committed to Texas. There was a little concern if Brian Kelly and the staff was ready to recruit the state. Well, in pretty short order, it looks like they're making a lot of those inroads.
It's fantastic stuff, man. Thank you for the insight. We will catch up with you as we get to week one, man.
Always. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Talk to you later. Matt Moscone, 104.5, and all throughout the state. We break. We wrap up next.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I've made a commitment to Coach Saban. You know, those things come up relative to what your role is in different programs, where you've been. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've had various roles in coaching, so obviously those things come up.
Bill O'Brien still on the staff in Tuscaloosa. Was a fair bet to not be the case. I said all along, though, that I thought it was Doug Marrone that I would find a bit more likely, or at least be maybe my choice, to be a head coach next. Now, Doug Marrone moved on. He's at the Saints. And, again, the NFL, I have to just do recall because I see it and then move on. Dan, he's with the Saints now, right, Doug Marrone? He's O-line coach with Dennis Allen, who is now, I guess, a first-time ever head coach. And you know what those guys like to do sometimes? Surround themselves. Dennis Allen. Oh, he's with the Raiders, wasn't he? That's right. Surround themselves with a lot of veteran coaches. And you have to be secure in that because there's a chance. Well, like if the less experienced coach don't get it done, what happens? Well, it's easy to fire, you know, fling him out. So I thought Doug Marrone would be the choice. But Bill O'Brien, he'll be a head coach again. I hope he's not involved in the front office, and that's easy to say, you know, and snarky and whatever, but no, it's not. It's actually true. You really hope he's not that much involved in transactions. But the guy can coach. He's a really good coach. He put a record together where when he's involved with the decisions as far as contracts and such, and you don't have that in college. So, Dan, how are you today?
Oh, man, so far, so good. And, you know, it's funny enough, listening to that Bill O'Brien cut right there, it probably needs to lead you down a path of giving credit to one man, Lane Kiffin, because that's a guy whose career, and I've talked about it numerous times, that I think of all of the accomplishments that Nick Saban had, one of the greatest accomplishments he had was making that guy into a believable, viable coach, because what was the reputation that Lane Kiffin had had before? You got your job because of daddy. You're failing upwards. You're just getting every single opportunity just handed to you. You're not necessarily earning it. Whereas now we look at Lane Kiffin and we say, no, that guy knows what he's talking about. Whenever he opens his mouth, I listen because I know he's not going to give me a bunch of crap that I have nothing that I can use it for, as opposed to saying things that I'm like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. Case in point right here. He was asked about the quarterback position, and there's thought right now that Luke Altmaier has the upper hand for that job. But he was also talking about taking the right amount of time to not only pick the guy, but to stay with them. And then if you have to pull the guy, to make sure that you're absolutely making the right decision. Quote, I think people pull them too fast. It's not like a pitcher who goes in and then pitches 4 days later. There's a lot of mental stuff to playing quarterback. When you get pulled, that's a big deal. You've got to make sure he's had every opportunity, and that's what's happening, and to make sure that everything is happening is actually his fault. So, you know, I understand, like, whenever people, you know, a guy has a bad game, ah, man, go with JT Daniels. I mean, people, Georgia fans were yelling it with Stetson Bennett after the SEC championship game, to the fact that the guy even admitted afterwards, Stetson Bennett, that is, saying that I had doubts if even I could play this position and I could even lead this team to win. And eventually it became a good story because he did lead the team to win, yep, both in the college football playoff semis and in the finals itself. But the fact that Lane Kiffin says something like that and it's picked up and people immediately look to it and say, man, that is a great point right there. I guarantee you that some of the fans in the Ole Miss fan base now, if they saw this quote, they're going to think twice before calling for Luke Altmaier to be the quarterback or for Jackson Dart if Altmaier isn't to their liking in terms of playing on Saturdays.
There is one factor that you rarely hear brought up when it comes to a quarterback and pulling them. You know what you can't do? And when you said you give him every last chance, the starter, because once you pull him, you know what you really, really can't do at that point? go back to him. You better be certain, man, because it is baggage. I mean, like a Samsonite factory with the quarterback position. And it was stronger mentally. Hush up. There's so much baked-in stuff to being the quarterback. My goodness. All right, wraps up on a Monday. Brody on the ones and twos doing a good job. Do you know what that means on the ones and twos? Do you ever see 8 Mile? Okay, whatever. 8 Mile. Dan, explain to him ones and twos. Wrapped up on a Monday, 22 hours. Be back.
I haven't, no.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.